This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
And glad you could join us. It is hour number two this morning. As we get more NFL, we'll have the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up in just a couple of minutes. You know, tomorrow, when Monday Night Football is over and we've got week five in the books, tomorrow Ron and I are going to do top five, bottom five. Now, the bottom five is always the funnest for us because we've got to pick on some teams that are lousy. And it's not always the team with the worst record that we go after. Sometimes it's just a team that may win a game or two, but it's in completely disarray. But I'm really curious about the top five. Because what I saw yesterday was teams that are good, that we knew are very, very good, played really well yesterday. The Dallas Cowboys, three touchdowns against a Giants team that just got beat up and got hurt. I mean, Saquon Barkley, Daniel Jones, and Galloway, all out with injuries. But as we mentioned earlier, the Buffalo Bills built themselves to play and win against Kansas City. It did exactly that. Tom Brady, from the emotional outpouring of love that he received in Foxborough on a rainy night, where the Buccaneers struggled a bit, but they still won, threw five touchdowns against the Dolphins. They're 4-1. Dallas is 4-1. Arizona is 5-0 as they beat San Francisco and Trey Lance. There are some really good teams right now in the NFL, and I'm curious as to how we sort this all out because, man, you can really make the case for a number of these teams as to who's going to be number one overall. Now, I know, again, the bottom five is a little bit more fun to do, but this top five should be really interesting because I was really impressed with Dallas yesterday. Now, I know it's a Giants team, and they lost Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, and that obviously hurts them. But I think about Dak Prescott, who 1 year ago today was being carted off the field at AT&T Stadium with an ankle injury, and a year later is playing exceptionally well, with three touchdown passes yesterday and over 300 yards through the air. But could you counter that with Tom Brady's five touchdowns, Arizona's perfect mark, a big road win for the Buffalo Bills on the road against Kansas City? A number of different ways you can go in this league. It's got a lot of storylines so far. I hope it continues because we still have a lot of football left to play. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser!
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. So much to get to from this weekend. All right, what's the good of the day?
You know what? I got to give it up to Dan Campbell.
Dan Campbell, my man. My man.
Even though, despite the Lions losing another heartbreaking game, I mean, the Lions really are in most of these games. I think last week might have been the only one they weren't ever really in.
Right.
But the emotion that Dan Campbell showed during his postgame presser is why I think the Lions are going to be okay. And why
he
I don't
was really
think,
emotional.
And I don't think you can get rid of him. I don't think this is a guy like we have a lot of. We sometimes get a first year head coach, and it's easy to fire him, easy to replace him, or he's
right.
Just you're looking at him as just a placeholder because you're waiting for the next guy. I mean, I look at Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer, there's a good chance he's not going to even finish this season.
Yeah, you hire sometimes these guys, build the program up, and then. You know, like an Andy Reid takes over or somebody like some big name coach that's got a lot of wins under their belt and has got some resume is available for whatever reason. And you go, oh, well, I'll take over now that you've built this roster up. Thanks for everything.
But I get the feeling that Dan Campbell is going to be here for a while because, I mean, he's emotional about the game. He is fighting tooth and nail for his players. He wants his players to do well. And I see his players responding to him.
Yeah,
like they're
too.
Playing for him. I mean, two losing seasons or two seasons of this, I don't know if he survives that, but I definitely think he survives this. That was great to see.
He really was. I mean, that was a tough loss. I mean, they had that in the bag, and then Minnesota kicked that field goal and won, and then he was really emotional afterwards. And I gotta admit, same thing as you. I feel myself pulling for this guy, and there's no other reason to. I mean, they're not a good football team other than – And you know what? And I've been down this road with coaches who are rah-rah before, but there's something about this guy I like. I like the way they're playing for him, and I'm pulling for him. There's something about him I enjoy. So I was with him on the emotion yesterday.
I mean, he's the biggest star on the team.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, I know Jared Goff is the quarterback. I couldn't name you another Lion.
It's funny because, Jared Goff, like, how angry would you be if you, like, led a team to a Super Bowl and they didn't believe in you enough to keep you around? They found someone. Like, all right, we're going to get another new quarterback now. Thank you. Goodbye. And they send you to a team that's rebuilding where you're not even really going to be the star. Like, they don't even the team you're going to, if they were honest, they would say, you're not really the guy we want.
You know?
Like, we're kind of hoping for whoever down the road. That's going to be tough. And yet,
very easily you look at it, like, if they continue their ways, like, this season, maybe they get a win, maybe two, they're in for a high draft pick. They might draft a quarterback and say, here you go, Jared Goff, we're getting your replacement now.
Yeah, yeah.
You can very easily say that. And Jared Goff, I have a feeling, is on the cusp of being that journeyman quarterback, just bouncing from one team to another. Because, I mean, he's better than a lot of backups that are on teams right now, and
sure,
people would love him as their backup. But at the same time, I don't see him with that star potential.
Yeah, I'm with you. And sometimes that you know, accepting that, you'll make a lot of money in this league. Lots of money. And every now and then you'll get your moment.
Yeah.
You just won't get your moment all the time. You'll have to put up with the press and the media and everybody's adulations for the superstars. But you can make a lot of money hanging onto a clipboard and then going in when the inevitable happens and doing pretty well.
I mean, maybe you become Ryan Fitzpatrick who has had a good career.
Very good career. Harvard educated man made a fortune.
Yeah.
Doing this.
He knew his role.
Remember Steve DeBerg was like this too. Remember DeBerg was in his 40s. He was always on a roster somewhere. Always on a roster.
Or who was the Matt Schaub?
Matt Schaub.
Just retired.
Yep, exactly.
Didn't even know he was on the league.
All right, what's the bat of the day?
The bat of the day, I got to go Giants.
Oh, boy.
This is proving that you can't have nice things. Sure, no. You know, you had a great win last week against the Saints. You know, it was an even number week, so we knew the Saints were going to lose. Which, by the way, odd number week, Jameis Winston performed well.
That's right. Just good point.
Saying, I think since there's 17 weeks, they're finishing, let me do my math, 9-8. Is it 9-8? No, 8-7.
Yeah, it'll be 9-8 or 8-7, depending on, yeah. So
I can't carry the one here. So if you didn't watch yesterday, first it was Daniel Jones or was it Saquon Barkley? Who went down first?
I think it was Barkley.
Barkley went down first. I mean, his was just running off the field, stepping on the opposing team player's foot and rolling his ankle. And then obviously, you know, Fox has to show us said ankle. That was a big bubble on the side of his ankle.
No doubt.
I'm not sure what his timetable is, but definitely a sprained ankle. He might be playing on maybe he's going to play on the hurt ankle, but one thing we've learned from him, I don't know if he has the toughness involved to do so.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Yeah.
I'm not wanting to question, because listen, I could never be an NFL running back.
Oh no.
But, you know, it does seem kind of odd. I mean, the guy just, you know, I don't know. He just hasn't really came back yet from his knee injury last year. And rolls the ankle pretty badly. That's a bad sprained ankle.
Yeah, no doubt.
So who knows how long he's going to be out. Then you have Daniel Jones, who was trying to, a bootleg rollout? Not a bootleg, but just a rollout, trying to get into the end zone.
Get a little extra into the end zone. And
he threw his helmet into the other guy, and man, at first it didn't seem that bad until you see that video of him walking back to the huddle and almost stumbling and falling.
You know what's funny, too, is that slow motion makes it look 1,000 times worse. It looked like his head just was, like, crushed.
Yeah.
Twisted and all that. Yeah, and then he's in the protocol.
Yeah, that was an easy call, too.
without question.
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman says, like, yeah, the NFL is going to see that. They're going to radio that one quickly.
Oh, doubt. Yeah, absolutely.
And so, I don't know. Giants just can't have nice things. That's where we're at now.
Yeah, that's too bad. What's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, I'm going to give it to France.
What did France do?
France right now is covered in garbage.
Why? Is strike?
Yes, the I'm going to call them sanitation workers, even though the article I read called them garbage workers. I'm sure there's a French term for that, you know, garbage, whatever. They're on strike, and they have been on strike for a month now. Would you like to know the reason why they're on strike?
Yes.
They refuse to work more than 21 hours a week.
Mon Dieu, how dare they? What is
I guess that's been their work week forever. It's just 21 hours a week. But listen, you know, there's probably more people living in France now. Garbage is piling up a little bit more. But they say, hey, 21 hours a week. That's our limit.
Is 21 hours a week the standard work week in France? Because we like to think 40 hours is universal, but it is.
Yeah, no, it's not. Right? I mean, we know that, like, in Spain, for instance, there's siesta during the middle of the day. So I don't know how long they're, but they work later. So businesses are open later because they do take like a 2 hour lunch
break. So it's like 4 hours a day.
Basically.
Yeah. A little over 4 hours a day.
Can you imagine your neighborhood, your city, and the sanitation workers there, the garbage men there, only working 4 hours a day?
Well, can I tell you I
can't even imagine them doing 4 hours just in my neighborhood.
How much power do these waste collection people have? Like, to think you could, like, nobody wants this. Like, nobody's okay with this. Like, for example, remember in the 80s when the air traffic controllers went on strike?
Yeah.
Remember that? And Reagan fired him. He's like, we can't have it. Sorry. You can't have it. You have to go to work. I'm ordering you to go to work. If you don't go to work, you're fired. And they didn't go to work and he fired him. Because he's like, this country's not shutting down over this. I can argue for or plus against it. That's not really what I'm saying is. But imagine if you are now, if you, let's say you didn't fly. You never had to fly. There's really no reason to get on a plane. You didn't care, right? But everybody cares about this. If no one picks up your garbage, what are you going to do with it? Take it to the dump yourself? Maybe, I guess.
I guess.
That's what we did when I was younger.
I mean The way that's happening, France legislation was petitioning for them to work 35 hours a week.
That's 14 hours more than what they're used to.
And they're like,
were they paying them more?
I don't know if they're paying
probably
them
more. Probably not.
But also, I mean, they do things a little differently over there because they also get 9 weeks paid vacation.
Okay, but you know what though? here's the problem. You and I are putting our own experiences into them.
No, that's true.
Right? Like, we're like, man, you only work 20. For them, they're like, why would I work more? And then they have every right to look at us and go, why do you guys work 40?
Yeah. What are you trying to accomplish?
And we're like, you know, I have no idea.
So you're saying we should go on strike?
And we go, you have 9 weeks vacation. And they're like, why do you guys only get two? And we go, again, I have no idea. Like, we have to stop pretending like our standard is the one everyone should be compared to. Maybe theirs is the right one for a proper balance of work and leisure. And if you grew up in a culture, if you grew up in France where that was the norm, that's a normal work week, and then they throw 35 hours on you, and you have nothing else to reference that increase to, meaning you never worked 40 hours a week, so you're still feeling like you're taking getting a free 5 hours, then I can understand why they're upset.
True.
Right?
No,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I get it.
Like,
in
their perspective, like, it would be the equivalent if everybody who works a 40-hour week, if the people just went, work 60. And you went, okay, can I get more money? No. You're like, whoa. And then imagine another country going, 60? Lazy Americans. We work 100. Right, we would go, but I can see their argument a bit.
Yeah, it's very true.
Only through their lens, not through my lens.
Yeah,
only through their lens.
Here, I mean, if we had that option, 21 hours a work week, we'd be like, sign me up. Where do I sign? Right.
Where do you go? You know,
9 weeks paid vacation. I'm out.
Absolutely, 9 weeks. That is a tremendous amount of vacation.
Yeah, well, they got to go on holiday.
Yeah. Do you get to a lot of stay vacations where you're like, honey, I can't afford to go to the beach again? We just went 2 weeks ago.
I got to plan
another trip for this family? What, are you kidding me?
9 weeks. That's.
I'm staying home. We're doing nothing. I'm going to watch French television and drink wine.
We'll watch American football.
Right. We'll watch American football. That's it. Stay up late.
Get into that. Try to figure it out. Try to figure out the little nuances and why everyone's always talking about Jacksonville. I guess they're a good team.
I guess, right? Exactly. Well, good luck, France, with the trash pickup. Hope it works out for you.
I know.
That's scary.
But, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, you know, they already complained that France smells anyways. Now you got trash on top of that.
That's amazing. Ye gads. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Monday. We'll talk more NFL and get into a little bit in the college game because, boy, that was fun on Saturday, wasn't it? We'll talk about that next on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
O'Reilly Auto Parts specializes in keeping your car on the road. Not sure how much life is left in your battery? O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. Their professional parts people will test your battery for free. If it does need to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right one to fit your car. Superstar batteries are built to handle even the toughest conditions. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. You know how much my family is into SEC football?
Why? Did something go down on Saturday?
A little too much. Let me tell you this on Saturday night. So my daughter, she was at her friend's house spending the night. My son is at the University of Florida. So my wife and I had the whole evening to ourselves. And we both got texts from our kids screaming about how great it was that Alabama lost.
And let me ask you something.
Unbelievable.
Was there, when you received those, a little bit of a tear in your eye?
Yeah, I felt like I had done right as a parent, right? That I raised them in the South to pick at least a loyalty in the conference and then roll with the conference however it may dice itself up. I was like, this is great. Both my kids are thrilled about this result.
Listen, I'm at least a good hour away from College Station.
Yeah. Here. Could you feel it?
I think I was hearing them celebrate.
Holy cow, did that come completely unexpected. I was burying the Aggies, just digging the shovel and burying their season. And this is the first time. This is how good Nick Saban is, man. This is how good Nick Saban is. This is the first time in 100 games they lost to an unranked opponent.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
That's ridiculous.
That is incredible. Usually, a good unranked team that you'll play, and it plays lights out, and you're like, oh, we caught a bad break. But nope, not to them. Not to them. Now, let me make one thing really clear, because for those of you out there like, yo, now the Big Ten can get two teams into the play. No. If Alabama runs the table and beats Georgia, and Georgia's unbeaten, they're both still going to the playoff.
Yep.
That's how this is going to work. So before you guys start screaming how the Big Ten will get two teams in, or maybe this is a chance for Cincinnati, you still need work to do.
Uh-uh. I can see Cincinnati winning out and Alabama, you know, simply, I mean, winning out as well, beating Georgia and Cincinnati dropping out of the top four.
Right.
For no fault of their own. I mean, just because it's Cincinnati.
This was a lesson I had to explain to my daughter, who, when I told her that in the AP poll, Alabama dropped to fifth, she wanted to know why they were in the top 25 at all for losing to Texas A&M. But I said, no.
But you know what?
That's how it works.
Okay, there is some truth to that. Right? Because you name another team and they lose to an unranked opponent. If they were in the top five, even if they were at number one, they're dropping down to the teens.
Oh, sure. Sure.
But it's Alabama. Here's the difference is that we know what Alabama is capable of doing.
Right.
If I think if they had gotten blown out
That different story.
That's a different story. But losing, you know, on a last second field goal, that's where, you know, it was like, yeah, that's why you're dropping out of five. You know, it's almost like the committee fudged the numbers perfectly to go, well, we're just going to keep you out of the top four just for conversation purposes today.
And full disclosure, she's a Kentucky fan, and they're 6-0, and she's like, well, how come they're not below us? I'm like, because you're still Kentucky.
Yeah.
So just chill for a second. You got to play Georgia coming up on Saturday.
Beat Georgia. Relax. Maybe beat Alabama, then the conversation becomes real.
I get you Big Ten people. I get Iowa, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan. You've got five teams in the top ten. That's phenomenal. That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
It's amazing.
But it's the beginning of October, so we still have a lot of work to do, and there's still a lot of games to be played. Alabama's path to the playoff is clear. It's clear. Win every game you have, and that's it. And Georgia, their path is clear. Win every regular season game that is in front of you. Georgia's going with a one loss to Alabama in the SEC title game, and Alabama's going with the win over Georgia, and that's it in the SEC title.
Now, does Alabama get in if they lose the title game, SEC title game to Georgia?
No, they won't. They won't get in with two losses. I don't know how chaotic it may be, but I don't think so. I think the committee then goes, okay, with all due respect to you, we love you. We've always loved you, and we've always protected you. We just are not going to overlook the Texas A&M loss that much. By the way, that kicker, he never buys a meal again for the rest of his life.
In College Station, yep.
Ever. That's why these guys stay around the town after they graduate.
Now, I didn't include that, but there is a good, a bad, and a dumb from that game as well.
Okay.
Because I don't know if you saw it. It's video going around right now. It might just be being shown in Houston right now. But what's his name? Seth Smalls,
yeah.
Seeing his family on the final kick is awesome.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And I can't tell if it was his – I've, with all due respect to the Smalls family, I can't tell if that's his mom or a girlfriend who is really cheering her heart out. She actually jumped after the kick is done. She jumps the fence and runs onto the field.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why at first I thought it was his mom. I was like, oh, hey, you know what? Good looking hot mom. Here we go. You know, Zach Wilson's mom part two.
But then
the fact that she jumped on the field and the rest of the family stayed.
Was it a sister? Could have been
maybe
a sister.
It's a sister. Okay. Maybe. I don't know. But it was that was fun because they all pretty much, you know, are sitting there holding each other's hands, you know, screaming. And then as soon as the kick is made, you can hear the stadium erupt around them. They go down,
you know,
and just like, are like crying their eyes out, like, that's their son. That's their boy.
Can you imagine if your boy kicks a field goal to beat Alabama and 100,000 people are weeping openly?
Yeah.
Golly. That must
now,
be great.
The bad and the dumb of it is awesome because there is another video going around. A security guard trucks a female student. She's running onto the field. Well, the security guard is trying to get Nick Saban off the field. There's two security guards, two police officers, you know, doing their best to get Nick Saban off the field as, you know, throngs of students are just running to him, running onto the field to celebrate. And this one security guard, I don't know if he did it on purpose, just trucked a female. You can see her phone go flying. That girl is now looking into suing College Station PD.
I'd be careful because you're really not supposed to be on the field.
Exactly.
At all. Yeah, that's we sort of allow this criminal activity to take place. But it's still not allowed.
I'm not sure what the word is. It might be called trespassing.
It is.
I'm not 100% sure if that's the legal term.
You are like you. It's by mob. Like okay. Let me put it to you this way. Let's say the kid kicks the field goal, right? And for whatever reason, 100,000 people decide not to run on the field, but you decide to run on the field and you're the only one. You'd be arrested.
Yes.
But because 30,000 people are doing it, they go, okay.
It's college. They allow the storm the field, storm the court mentality.
The security guard, that's going to be the toughest job in the world because if they want Nick Saban, they could get Nick Saban.
Oh, people could take sucker punches all day long.
There is nothing you can do to stop that.
You're listening to Wake Up Call
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, I got to tell you, I was I've been watching the video of the small family, as you mentioned earlier, the kicker for Texas A&M.
Yeah.
And it's really great. It's really perfect.
But, now, okay, but is that, who is that?
I don't know. That could be his mother.
Yeah. But the fact that she jumped the fence and stormed the field, I can't really see a mom doing that.
Yeah. Now, she's holding the hands of a mom.
Yeah.
So it looks like that could have been like an older woman that either could be grandma or the mom. But yeah, that girl is young enough. She's jumping the fence and going, I'm rewatching it. But okay. This is what you could totally see Seth Small. If he, wherever he goes, maybe he kicks in the NFL, maybe he doesn't. But you could also see him like years from now, just like in his 30s and 40s, just sitting around, like walking around a restaurant. Yeah, they had me come in. It was a 28 yarder. I was feeling pretty good that day. I was kind of stretching out on the sidelines. Coach said to me, "You got this one?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." This game was tied at 38-38. You know how it is at College Station, Kyle Field. It was a madhouse. Exciting number one team in the country. I lined up the kick. I took two deep breaths. I swung my leg through the ball. It sailed right through the uprights, and we upset Alabama. Enjoy your prime rib and your lobster. And just walks off to another table. And then he goes to another table, and he goes, "Yeah, you remember how crazy it was that night. Coach asked me if I was ready. I went out there, swung my leg." Just doing it over and over again, and people just eating it up. That's the guy who kicked the field goal back in 2021 that beat Alabama. If you get a reservation on Saturdays, he'll tell you the whole story. That's the way it's going to be. That's why these guys hang around these college towns, man. Like, the memories never go away. It never goes away. If you're a superstar, if you do something spectacular, you'll never buy a meal again. People will pay money to have you tell them the story again, how you ran that touchdown in to beat Texas or whatever it was. Speaking of which, that was the most fun game on Saturday, wasn't it? Oklahoma, Texas?
My God.
Why in God's name when those two teams play, something crazy weird happens?
Every time.
All the time.
You know, we do this a lot. We say it a lot maybe with the NFC East. It doesn't matter what the records, throughout the record book.
Right.
And that is this game every single year. It doesn't matter what the records are. One team could be undefeated. The other team could be defeated. And you're going to get a showdown like this.
It was like 28 to nothing. I think it was 35-7 in the second quarter.
Yeah.
And then Lincoln Riley, he's got Spencer Rattler, right? Now, I say this a lot, so I'm going to repeat myself. I say this all the time. Now, there are times, and usually because of injury, but in this case it was because of struggling, where you say, what percentage of my backup what percentage of my starter is still better than 100% of my backup, right? Do I let my starter work this out, or do I replace him? Because if I replace him, I got some answering to do. Because if I replace him and we lose 55-7, then I got to explain this. Because I have a kid that people thought would win the Heisman Trophy at the beginning of the season. So if I sit him down and I bring in his backup, it better work. And it did work. It did. So now there's, you know, he looks brilliant, but it's not an easy decision to make.
No, do you?
It's not.
I mean, do you bench Spencer now?
Yeah, I think you do.
But the same thing, I mean, this happened to Spencer Rattler last year.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember? And he benched him, right. And then he came back, and he's like, and he came back, and he, you know, started winning a game.
Yeah.
I just sit there like, what does this do for your NFL prospects?
Oh, it's,
if during the biggest game of the year, you get benched. Your biggest game of the year, I should say.
So, you know what's funny? So, I told you about this friend of mine that has it every Saturday morning. Bing! Hey, who do you like? Bing! Here's the list. Bing! Here are the lines. And I tell him all the time, like, dude, I can tell you who's good. I don't know about spreads and all, you know, I'm not a handicapper. I'm not Tony the Greek, you know, but I can tell you this team is struggling. This team has got a good offense. This team changed quarterbacks. This team, whatever. I can do that. So, I told him, take Texas. I said, take Texas. They're playing really good, and Oklahoma can't close. Oklahoma's struggling. The line was 3.5. all right, so Texas is up 35-7. I go, oh, I gave Joe the right call here. Texas is probably going to win this game. I see Oklahoma coming back. I'm not surprised. But then I saw Texas score a touchdown themselves, and it was a back-and-forth affair. So this is why I can't gamble. And if you gamble, God bless you, because I know this is why I can't, because I would have taken Texas. And I probably would have put good money on Texas. So Oklahoma has the ball at the end of the game, and they're driving towards the waning seconds. Now, it looks like they're going to kick a field goal, which if they make, they win by three. The 3.5 covers, and Texas, if you bet Texas, you still win. They gave it to Kennedy Brooks, and he scored a touchdown. Texas was like, why don't you just walk in to the end zone? We all go home.
Yeah, we don't need it.
Right? I was like, oh, my God. If you just tackle him, they can't do anything else. They'll go for the field goal. And a Texas – no, they had to roll to a walk-off touchdown. Actually, 3 seconds were on the clock. And that's it. And the Oklahoma bets won based on that. That fluctuation would drive me bananas. Bananas. But kudos to Caleb Williams, who came in for the Sooners on Saturday and beat Texas in the Red River. Good to see the Red River shootout rivalry, hootenanny, whatever they call it, back in full force. That's fun. It's a fun game. So, yeah, college football was really fun this weekend. The Iowa game against Penn State, they rushed the field too.
Yep.
Thought that was good. Rushing the field is fun. I've never done it because I had no opportunity to do it at South Carolina.
Yep. UMass. So, rushed the field after
they did. They beat UConn.
Yeah, who was 0-6?
But UConn stinks.
I didn't get it either.
I don't understand.
Is it
that.
Because like you? Isn't UConn like D1 and UMass is not?
Now, have you ever rushed a field or a court?
No.
At all?
No.
Okay. I did it once. I'll tell you the quick story. So when I went to the University of New Hampshire, it was my senior year, and UNH basketball, men's basketball, was atrocious. I mean, atrocious. And they had this like nationally recognized long losing streak at home. In fact, it was a big deal. Like they had set the record for most losses at home in Division I basketball. So it was a Saturday and they had guaranteed win day and they were playing Maine. And they said, if we win, you'll get to experience the end of the streak. But if we lose, everybody in attendance gets this like coupon pack for businesses in the Durham, New Hampshire area. So my buddy and I went to the game. They lost. Boo-hoo. We get our coupon packages. Comes with a ticket to go to the next game, which was like a Tuesday night against Holy Cross, a Wednesday night against Holy Cross. I already had the pass, but my friend didn't. So we go, let's go. Why not? Ron, I kid you not, there was like 30 people there. I mean, it was like empty. And they played in like a glorified gym. They didn't play in an arena. Now they play in a nice arena that's got like seats. This was like bleachers. So we were there, like
the
30 other people.
The kind of bleachers that fold back?
Yeah, the kind of bleachers that fold back.
Back in high school?
Yeah, exactly. Big gym, don't get me wrong, big bleachers, but bleachers nonetheless. There might have been 30 people there. 50 if I'm being generous. It was a Wednesday night. Nobody gave a crap about this basketball team. They were atrocious. And they're playing Holy Cross. So me and my buddy are sitting there laughing, having a good time. All of a sudden, we look up, it's the second half, and it's time's ticking. We're like, hey, they're winning. Look at this. They're winning. And we're like watching this, and we're like, wouldn't this be weird? They made a big deal of it on Saturday, guaranteed win night. But on this Wednesday night when nobody's here, they could actually end the nation's longest home losing streak? That would be crazy. So we're watching. Gets time like 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes. We're like, they're going to win this game. Sure enough, bam. They win. They go crazy. The team goes crazy. Everybody starts yelling and screaming. And all of a sudden, a couple of students get the bright idea. Why don't we rush the court? So my buddy and I were like, hell yeah, let's rush the court. So we did. There's about 20, 25 of us on the court, jumping up with the players, having a good time, patting them on the back, hugging coaches. I assisted in the cutting down. They cut down the nets. The players cut down the nets, but I assisted by holding the ladder with a friend of mine. Now, a buddy of mine told me that I got on the news because they said there was one camera there and they sent it to the local TV news. And my buddy said he saw me, but I never saw evidence of that. And that was the only time I ever rushed the court. in my entire 4 years of existence in school. South Carolina never did anything while I was there. We lost to Clemson 49-0 my freshman year. So there's no reason to do that. The only time I did it was on a night nobody remembered, the night they beat Holy Cross to end the nation's longest home losing skid at the University of New Hampshire. And that was it. But I highly recommend it if you can and get away with it. It's still against the law in a lot of places. But if you can, it's kind of fun. It's kind of the joy. But Mike Krzyzewski used to talk about it being really dangerous. He was always nervous because Duke was always, you know, a target, right? Everybody wanted to play Duke, and everybody wanted to beat Duke at home. And those students, he knew those students, if they lost, they knew those opposing students would rush the court. And he always used to say, man, that's dangerous. You know, you got to get to the locker room, got to get to your kids. Especially Leitner. Remember Leitner, how hated he was? Can you imagine being like Christian Leitner needed security?
Oh, my God.
They go on the road and they lose. It's like, oh, yeah, I don't need some frat guy coming in and punching Christian Leitner in the stomach and make Leitner react to that. You know, because that was the biggest worry, too. It wasn't so much his players getting attacked. It was his players getting attacked enough that they would respond, and then it would just all hell would break loose. Because if you're Leitner, right, imagine if you're Leitner or Bobby Hurley or, to that matter, anybody. And you're on the court, and you lose a basketball game, and the fans rush the court, and then somebody takes a shot at you, and you respond. It's a brawl. The police and the security is not, they're not going to stop it. It's all hell is going to break loose. So you got to be careful. But the Texas A&M scene looked great. The Iowa scene looked great. So God bless them for doing that. All right, we'll get more in the back into the NFL again yesterday with a big win for the Buffalo Bills on the road against Kansas City. That was the biggest game, but I loved what the Chargers did in their game as well. We'll get to some of that as we continue with hour number two on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
We'll continue to look at the National Football League from yesterday. We got Pat Donovan coming up in hour number three because, you know, Tampa right now is becoming sort of the championship central of the sports universe. Now with the Buccaneers and the Lightning, two-time Stanley Cup champions. I know the Rays are in trouble, but they are still the top seed in the American League. Get his perspective of that. We always like talking with Pat Donovan anyway about football, and the Buccaneers rolled past Miami with five touchdown passes from Tom Brady. This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage to fit your life? Rocket can. By the way, Mike Evans and Antonio Brown in that game both had two touchdown catches. Boy, it's like Brady was like, I can't wait for this Patriots game to be over. And then I can really start getting back to work.
All right, what about that narrative that it almost appears like Brady and Mike Evans don't get along?
Yeah, what?
I mean, I've heard that a couple of times.
I've heard that a couple of times, too.
And then you see a game like this, like, okay, is it true?
Well,
it's hard to tell.
It really is. And I think Brady in his career in New England has always had a couple of players that people have gone, does he get along with Randy Moss? Does he get along with Ocho Cinco? Does he get along with, you know, whoever? Name your wide receiver. And then you find out, yeah, he does. And even if he doesn't, it doesn't matter. Like if they're open, he's like, here's the ball. Now go score a touchdown. But yeah, I've heard the, you know, the Brady Evans thing before. So maybe we'll get Pat Donovan's perspective on that next hour. But as I said at the top of the hour, our top five bottom five tomorrow should be really interesting.
Can't wait.
I mean, you just the way we will figure out who the top five teams are in each of us. I'm really looking, like, I might actually put a lot more work into this than just kind of going by feel. Like, I kind of look at the teams and I kind of go, all right, I like the way they play.
I do the same exact thing.
But now I might go, okay, what statistically is different between Dallas at 4-1 and the Chargers at 4-1 and the Bills at 4-1 and Arizona at 5-0, right? All of those type of things. And it should be really interesting because it's, there's some really good teams right now. And you know what? It's not the same old, you know, it's different kind of teams that are playing really well right now. Like Arizona is kind of new to this conversation. The Chargers are kind of new to this conversation. The Bills have been good, but they're new to this conversation. Dallas is in the same boat. It's not just, you know, we're doing the Patriots and the Chiefs like we've done in years past, right? Where, and the Steelers, Green Bay, and Seattle and things like that. We got some new up-and-coming teams in the NFL. And again, this goes back to what the league has always wanted. They have always wanted things like this. They've always wanted its fan bases to feel like you shouldn't be that far away from turning things around. And I got to think that when as we've been talking about all morning, the level of play amongst the young quarterbacks, at least in the AFC, is good for this league. It is good to have these young quarterbacks playing well. You know, it's good to have a game yesterday where Joe Burrow played pretty good against Aaron Rodgers, right? Well, played pretty good. In the end, they didn't win, but played pretty good. Like Baker Mayfield and Justin Herbert, that ended up being a fantastic game, right? Things like that. Those are the kind of things that the league is looking at to see these young quarterbacks play particularly well. I hope Trevor Lawrence is in that conversation someday. And I wouldn't mind if Zach Wilson was in that conversation too. But even though it would make it really hard for the Steelers to get back into prominence, I think it's good for the league. I think these quarterbacks really are fun, and there's a lot of good play right now, and there's also a lot of bad play, which we'll also get to tomorrow. All right, coming up, it's hour number three. Pat Donovan will join us. We'll talk about some of the Tampa Bay teams, including the Rays, and their backs are against the wall against the Red Sox, and more from week number five next.